Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com. Welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way with your host, Mary O'Malley, inviting you to open to the radical notion that in your life, whatever you perceive to be in your way is the way. In other words, your challenges, whether they be relationships, compulsions, finances, or illness, come with gifts embedded in them that can bring healing and allow you to experience the joy of being fully alive. Mary is a counselor, awakening mentor, inspirational speaker, and the author of What's in the Way is the Way, The Gift of Our Compulsions, Belonging to Life, and The Magical Forest of Aliveness. What's in Your Way is the Way with Mary O'Malley is part of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age. Heard Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to What's in Your Way is the Way. And I'm your host, Mary O'Malley. And today, we are exploring the pathway to freedom. I had a startling realization the other day while using my latest statement, which wakes me up out of being identified with my mind, taking me directly to awareness. And that statement is, without changing anything, notice what is here. The realization was that in my first book, Belonging to Life, I was pointing to the same exact thing with the statements of what is and this too. These are one of the things that Eckhart Tolle liked about that book. What is all about bringing your attention out of your thoughts so you can use it to be curious about what you are experiencing right now. In other words, rather than thinking about what is happening, you are actually experiencing it. It's startling to realize that most of the time you think about your life rather than being present for it. This too, the second statement, is all about not struggling with whatever is here, giving it the space to be here, because most of our suffering comes from struggling and resisting what is. When you stop resisting what you are experiencing, the bound-up energy, whether it's sensations, thoughts, or feelings, it begins to dissipate. You don't need to fix or get rid of or rise above or even figure out your struggles. That just keeps you lost in the land of struggle in your head. It's a powerful moment in your awakening when you recognize that what really heals is your focused, accepting attention. In my second book, The Gift of Our Compulsions, the statements became four questions. In this moment, what am I experiencing? For this moment, can I let this be here? For this moment, can I touch this with compassion? Right now, what do I truly need? And in my book, What's in the Way is the Way, the statements became, as is, I'm here. I see you, I'm here. I want you to really get, I never had recognized that this golden thread was in all of my books. So all three of these carry the same intention, to actually notice what we're experiencing rather than just thinking about it. Allowing what is here to be here in order to begin to see it, to explore it, to investigate it, and eventually giving it the healing light of our own attention. And now these statements have morphed into three new ones. The first two being, without changing anything, notice what is here. And without changing anything, allow what is here to be here. Why are these statements so powerful? They're even more powerful than the three groups of statements we just explored in my books. I think it's the without changing anything part. Our mind is all about changing and fixing and resisting and trying. And without changing anything lifts the attention, your attention, out of the world of thought, so that you can begin to notice life and see the veils of thought that takes you away. So rather than being lost in them, you become smarter than all the stories of struggle in your head. So these new statements help you unhook from the world of struggle so you can actually be present for what you are experiencing. But the place where lasting healing happens is encapsulated in the third statement. Without changing anything, bring tenderness to what or who is here. This one invites you to give whatever you're experiencing your full accepting attention, for it is in your heart that all true lasting healing happens. And I'm going to say that again. For it is in your heart that all true and lasting healing happens. These statements and all the ones from the other books contain two core skills. Curiosity, not the kind of curiosity that tries to figure things out. Oh, I wonder why this is here. But the kind of curiosity that is fascinated with what is here right now. What are you experiencing right now? And the other skill is compassion. The spaciousness of your own heart, which opens the doorway into showing up for life exactly as it is, rather than endlessly being caught in our busy, denying, trying, fixing, efforting, changing, resisting, complaining, reacting, judging, and endlessly trying to understand mind. I'm not knocking our minds. They are necessary tools for maneuvering through reality, but they are not reality. We know incredible suffering when we don't see this clearly. These statements are also the place where everything inside of us that has forgotten how to show up for life, feels it's unsafe to show up for life, is healed under the gaze of our full accepting attention. But we're not skilled at this at all. We mostly stay as far away as we can from what we are actually experiencing. Alan Watts says, the beloved Zen master, no matter how many times you say the word water, it will never be wet. Why is it that when we most deeply long to be fully alive, intimately connected with life right here, right now, why is it that we have gone so far away into the land of thought? What makes sense to me is that when we were young, we were fully here, but as thoughts began to fill up our head, and there was a time there was not one thought in your head, just let that in, we were conditioned to believe that there were parts of us that were not okay. So we stashed these parts deep inside of us and wrapped them in fear and shame. Then we spent our lives trying our best to keep them locked inside. We don't want other people and even ourselves to see how much we judge or how self-absorbed we can be or how anxious we get or how arrogant we are sometimes, or how much anger we feel, or how self-pity sometimes captures us, and on and on and on. Trying to hide these parts of ourselves is a little bit like trying to keep a dozen rubber duckies below the waterline. If you do manage to do this, you, of course, will then take a great breath of relief, and they'll all start popping back up again. When we spend our life trying to manage our experience, We can't be here for life. We can only survive rather than thrive. I know this well because I have been the queen of getting as far away as I could from what I was actually experiencing. Denial was the only way I survived the insanity of my childhood. Instead of bringing safety, which it promised to do, it brought extreme confusion, despair, heart-killing self-hate, copious amounts of food, alcohol, and drugs, all so I didn't have to experience what I was experiencing. In all those years, I lived as a victim. Life was happening to me. And it became too painful because all my turning away didn't stop the pain. I then tried suicide a number of times, thinking suicide would finally really get me away from the pain. But of course, thankfully, I was a failure at suicide, and I slowly learned that the healing I longed for didn't come from getting rid of my pain. It came as I learned how to be present for it. Not struggling with it, so I could enfold it with compassion. And compassion, my wise and beautiful heart, opened the doorway into the warm, nourishing spaciousness that all my pain was happening in. So we always give to the world what we most need, whether it's in a friendship, at work, or being a teacher of awakening like I am. My life has been full of challenges, and it took a long time for me to recognize that I don't have a challenging life because it was, karmic retribution, or I'm just a trauma queen, or God is punishing me. Those are all thoughts I had. It was because I was destined to discover a pathway out of the world of struggle and back into an intimate, alive connection with life exactly as it is. And our challenges become our teachers. Our challenges are where the doorways are back into life. I was also destined to be a way shower for people who are ready to see that living in the now includes the easy and the difficult, the joyous and the sorrowful. If you talk to most people that are trying to live in the now, they have this idea that living in the now is unending bliss. But life is, it contains both the dark and the light. And as I became a way shower, and it took me a long time to recognize that this is what was happening, and I resisted it for a long time, I recognized most importantly that the uncomfortable parts of life are where the doorway is to being present for life. Now, coming back to life is not an overnight process. As one of my teachers said, it is the work of a lifetime. It's a little bit like being trapped in a room with veil upon veil of fabric hanging from the ceiling. And you're just surrounded, engulfed in fabric. And these hanging pieces of fabric represent all the stories of struggle in your head. And standing at the center of the room, you begin to recognize that your job is to give your accepting attention to the veil in front of you, for attention heals. But as that veil lifts, there is another veil of fabric and then another. And it can be discouraging at times because you don't notice that as one veil after the other begin to lift under the light of your accepting attention, it gets lighter in the room. As you get out to the furthest veils, you are now using all the skills you learned on this journey to be present for the most wounded, the most scared, the most alone parts of you that have forgotten the safety of being fully present for life. As you meet them with curiosity and compassion, they lift. and the room dissolves because the struggle was just happening in your imagination. And life, in all of its newness, wonder, intelligence, and heart, is available to you again. Although I think while we're still living in a body, we can know more and more this connection to life. But this is a schoolroom, and we will then be drawn back in to the veils. But more and more quickly, we understand that we're there because there's something that needs our attention. What I'm saying here is that when the hard stuff of life comes, when you are uncomfortable, it is not because you have done something wrong or God has fallen asleep on the job. It comes because life is showing you something that you are ready to see, and see with great heart. As you travel down this path back to yourself and back to life, you are being trained to meet the most hidden parts of you with the healing balm of your own heart. This is what my three big C's are doing for me: cancer, chemo, COVID long hauler. It is not because, those are here as my teachers. The parts of myself that I have been the most afraid of my whole life are here a lot now, and I'm finally being moved into a much more aware and spacious place with the core things that for years I could only be with for a few seconds or a few minutes. The gift of this time is that denial didn't work. There were just too many challenges all happening at the same time. The core preference of our mind is to feel good, but the relentlessness of not feeling well. And with the help of these three statements, without changing anything, notice what is here, without changing anything, allow what is here to be here, and without changing anything, bring tenderness to what or who is here. With those statements, I was able to over and over again cut through my mind's rebellious resistance to being with the most deeply hidden parts of me. But then I had a very challenging day, one I am truly grateful for. For my sensitive body was in full reaction mode. It was having a hard time with the cancer and the chemo I must be on for the rest of my life, but also the intense cytokine storms that come from being a COVID long hauler. If you don't know what a cytokine storm is, it is when your immune system is fighting something that it sees as an invader, and it floods your bloodstream with inflammatory proteins called cytokines as it begins to overreact to the invader. The reaction could be so strong that it begins to attack its host body, and it can kill tissue and damage your organs, and this is sometimes how people die from COVID. With a COVID long hauler, the storms are not that strong, but they can cause you to really not feel very well, which is what I've been dealing with. The three core symptoms are shortness of breath, brain fog, and deep fatigue. I don't have the shortness of breath, but I certainly have the brain fog and the deep bone-weary fatigue. On this particular morning that I'm grateful for, and it will seem like for a while, how could I possibly be grateful for this day? But on this morning, I woke up with the usual sense of fatigue and fog and just not feeling well. But added to that was the nerve in my leg being lit up like a Christmas tree. But life was really in a teaching mode, and so it added food moving straight through me. I evidently had eaten something the day before that my body didn't agree with. And, oh, my God, when my stomach and intestines are upset, I think the best way to describe it makes everything sour. And so here I was dealing with all this. And I'd felt that ever since I had been diagnosed, well, actually, probably, 6 to 8 months, I think I had the cancer long before the doctor finally found it, but I had been one like one of those 3-foot inflatable plastic dolls with the weight in the bottom. You know, the ones you can hit and they bounce right back up again. And I had been knocked over and over again with all that I was dealing with around my health. But I kept on bouncing back up again, especially with these 3 new statements. And bouncing back up again just like the doll does when you hit it. And these statements allowed me to cultivate curiosity and compassion. But on this day, it felt like somebody had stuck a pin in the doll and it deflated. I went and sat with it, as I do every morning, but there wasn't a lot of space. My mind was screaming, this is all too much. Life is asking too much of me. Oh, my God, this is only going to get worse as the day goes on. Oh, what is wrong with me? And then, burbling up from this morass of struggle inside of me, came this question, what is life showing me here? It was like being outside in the freezing cold without a coat, and life dropped a warm down parka over my shoulders, because now I was curious. I was still outside in the cold, but life was no longer happening to me. I moved out of the victim mode and moved into one of the core truths I have discovered on this journey back to myself and back to life, and that is, life doesn't happen to us. It's happening for us. This is why I love that Eckhart Tolle quote so much. Let's see if I can remember it. I won't get all the words exactly right. Life will give us the exact set of experiences we need in order to become a conscious human being. How do we know they're the right set? Because we're having them. And that's what we're talking about today, becoming a conscious human being, which is one that can relate to thought, not from thought. A being that is smarter than thought, so they can use it for the wonderful tool it is, rather than be endlessly caught in its world of struggle. So, as soon as I remembered, in the middle of this morass of suffering, that life was giving me exactly what I needed to unhook from my struggling mind enough so I can actually be present for life, I stepped out of the intense world of struggle into the healing balm of curiosity. I became fascinated with what was actually happening inside of me. I could feel a knot in my stomach, a wall of resistance in my neck and shoulders, and a dropping sensation in my belly. As I looked more closely, I could see a lot of pure overwhelm. Also some anger. The story was, this is all too much. And a lot of feeling of being trapped and no way out. And even a few moments of shaming myself, oh, you're just a drama queen, but I have gotten so much smarter than the critic inside of me that I didn't really get caught in that story. But as I say in What's in the Way is the Way, life is set up to bring up what has been bound up. So we're talking about here. So it can open up to be freed up so we can show up for life. So these feelings on that morning were the core experiences of life when I was young. Overwhelm, alone, endless pain, too much. No way out. I have been able to be with pieces of this place over the years, but not with the whole kit and caboodle, and here it was on that morning. With the help of the statements, without changing anything, notice what is here, and without changing anything, allow what is here to be here. I began to investigate. In other words, rather than being caught in my whirling, spinning mind, I was investigating the truth of this moment rather than my thoughts and reactions about it. for how we become free is to have the core parts of our conditioned self, the self that was created in our mind when we were a child, it was created by a child, to have all these moving parts brought out of hiding, and that happens through our challenges. And so to get to know this conditioned self, to get to know how it contracts and reacts and is feels like it's not enough and nothing is ever going to work out and is always trying to do life rather than be life. For when these beliefs come out of hiding, and this is what our challenges do, that is when we can see them. We can investigate. We can relate to them rather than from them. And slowly and surely, one veil at a time, unhook from our conditioned mind's world. And that is why I was so grateful for this day. Hopefully you can see. You know, I didn't have to like this day, but I was so very grateful for it. Because rather than, it was so intense. And I had worked a long time to come to this place where the muscle of my attention and my open heart were strong enough that I didn't have to leave myself, run away. I could be with it. Oh, I could just feel waves of gratitude in my chest as I share that with you. So it really helps to work with your body around this because, you know, all the thoughts and feelings that make up our struggling self, they generate sensations in our body, and it can be easier to work with the sensations in the beginning rather than the thoughts of your head or the world of feelings. And it really helps to name it, to describe it. You know, it's like the dropping sensation in my belly. My whole mind has wanted to stay far away from that. So in order to keep my attention there, I would say, okay, you know, it's a line that goes down, and it's about, you know, 3 inches wide, and it pulsates, and it comes and goes, and that helps keep your attention there. You know, and in my stomach there was a sharp pain, a throbbing pain, and you know, your pain could be pulsating, or it could be vibrating, or it could be moving around, or you could be fascinated by how big it is. This helps you bring the light of your attention to whatever you are experiencing. As one of my first teachers taught me, in the seeing is the movement. We can try to fix and change and figure out and endlessly understand, and sometimes that's important to do. But the patterns that run us from underneath our everyday awareness lose their power over us when we see them, when we are actually present for them. But this is not what we do. It is startling to realize how strongly we were conditioned to turn away from what we were actually experiencing. But that's like running away from a bear in the woods. It's almost a guarantee that the bear will run after you. Turning away, even though it may be necessary at times, will never bring the deep and lasting healing you long for. It is in being present for the places where you contract that the doorway to freedom lies. We survived when we took on this conditioned self and got lost in the thoughts in our head. We survived by going away, but now we can thrive by going towards. It does take courage to do this, because this is not how we've been conditioned at all. Be curious? Heck no. Before I started awakening, and you know, even in the beginning of my awakening, when I was uncomfortable, I would just go eat the thing or drink the thing or take drugs or get very, very busy. But I was deeply inspired when I heard Pema Chodron, the very wise Buddhist nun, say, "Nothing ever goes away until it has taught us what we need to know." If we run 100 miles an hour to the other end of the continent in order to get away from the obstacle, or I will say the challenge, we find the very same problem waiting for us when we arrive. It just keeps returning with new names, forms, manifestations, until we learn whatever it has to teach us about where we are separating ourselves from reality, how we are pulling back instead of opening up, closing down instead of allowing ourselves to fully experience whatever we encounter without hesitating or retreating into ourselves. Wow. Just wow. I'll try to have Deborah put that on the Dream Visions website so you can get a hold of that quote. You know, it's what we're talking about here, you know, how we can open rather than pull back, how we can allow ourselves to fully experience whatever we encounter. And I would say, without hesitating or retreating, that morning I hesitated and retreated. You know, this programming to turn away from ourselves is so strong, but we can learn how to turn towards. So what she's saying here, she's saying that our challenges, the parts of our life where we tighten down, we resist, we deny, we ignore, we blame, we judge, we endlessly try to fix, are really our teachers. They are for us. For how we become free from the world of struggle is to get to know it, to explore it, to investigate what we are experiencing, especially when our mind really doesn't like what we are experiencing. In other words, what's in the way is the way. But, as you probably experienced, we need to hear this 1,000 times, maybe 1,000,000 times. Another time I have forgotten that life is for me and the core thing I could do is be curious about what I was experiencing. A teacher said to me, what would happen if, even with all your fixing and changing and resisting, what you didn't like in your life was going to stay here forever? Oh, wow. My initial reaction was, oh, no, I could feel myself becoming even more caught in the whirlpool of struggle. But then, in a flash, what flooded my heart and mind was the truth, that if I knew it was going to be here forever, and there was nothing I could do about it, then the doorway out of the room of struggle would make itself known, the doorway of simply being present for whatever life brings your way. And this is what the new statements are all about. But the muscle of our attention is weak, and it takes warmth and patience to learn how to fully give your attention to whatever you are experiencing. This is the golden thread that weaves through everything I share. And it's important to understand we're learning a new language. We're learning the language of the aware heart, which is our main brain. So when you learn a new language, at first you can hardly know what 10 words mean, maybe even 5 words. Then you begin to be able to put them together into short sentences and say them to other people, but you still can't understand what other people fluent in the language are saying. But slowly, you become more articulate. And if you're living in a world where everybody speaks this language, eventually you'll be able to think in this language too. And so listening to these shows, you are beginning to steep yourself in this new language, and slowly and surely you will not only learn it, but you will be able to think in it too, and having moments where you forget it all, like I did on that day for a short period of time. By giving what we're experiencing the full light of our attention, that's only half of the equation. The other is contained in the third statement. Without changing anything, bring tenderness to what is here. Remember the metaphor we explored earlier when you shifted from being lost in your thoughts to being curious about what you are experiencing? It was like being outside on a cold winter night without a coat, and then life drops a coat over your shoulders, but you're still outside in the cold. to come home to your own heart, to come home to the warmth and care of your own heart is to understand that everything inside of you, everything that you are afraid of or ashamed of, longs for the healing balm of your own heart. And as the little prince said, it is with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye or to the mind. And I'll say this again, I said it earlier, all true lasting healing happens in your heart. I usually start with the first two statements, without changing anything, notice what is here, and without changing anything, allow what is here to be here, because the mind needs to be heard before it can calm down enough that the veils begin to lift and your heart can get a word in edgewise. Then I can say, without changing anything, bring tenderness to what is here. Although sometimes when I am contracting into the struggle mode, just in a flash, I can see what's going on, and I know I don't have to fight it, and then I just go directly to my heart. So having cultivated an open heart over the years, this statement opens the door of my heart when my mind is struggling, and it floods what I've been resisting with such tenderness and kindness, it oftentimes brings tears to my eyes. I would then oftentimes say to my mind, if that was what was struggling the most, oh, dear sweet mind, I know this is hard. I see you. I am here with you. And I can then acknowledge what's happening, I see how scared you are, or I see you are upset, or I see you are angry, or I see you are hurting. Oh, my God, minds just respond to it, just like you and I respond. When somebody, they don't try to fix it, they judge us for being in a difficult place. They say, I see you, and I understand. And if it was my body that was the main struggler, I would say to my body, oh, I see you are struggling. I am here with you now, and I flood you with my heart. Or maybe it was my feelings that were the strongest struggle that was around, and I would say to maybe fear, if that was what was here, I see you are afraid. I enfold you in my heart. You are not alone. When my heart is open, I can stay for long periods of time with the healing that comes from touching what I formerly resisted with my own heart. And this is what every thought, every feeling, every sensation in your mind-body system longs for, and most especially the ones you have locked out of your heart. They long for compassion. They deserve compassion. They are worthy of your compassion. When I'm fully with what I'm experiencing with the spaciousness of my heart, it becomes so clear that if my body's the main thing that's struggling, it needs me. It has really been struggling with these health challenges. And when I'm reacting to the uncomfortableness of all this, lost in my thoughts, my body is experiencing all these challenges by itself. I cannot even put into words the joy that comes when, after being caught in my resistant mind, you know, this is too much, oh, I feel so yucky today, I can't even hardly put into words the joy that comes when I'm present enough that it's safe for my heart to open and my whole body is filled with the radiance of my heart. Love heals. Love heals. My thoughts and feelings also need my heart. So when I have unhooked from following my thoughts down the rabbit hole of struggle, and when I instead give my immediate experience my full attention, it becomes evident how young the world of struggle is, whether it shows up as thoughts, feelings, or sensations, and how much that world needs your loving attention. In the beginning, it can be a bit of a challenge because we are not only individually conditioned to stay away from the unpleasant, but our whole society is conditioned to get to the good stuff and try to get rid of the bad stuff, which is just the world of struggle. Has it ever really worked? You know, have you ever been able to nail down the good stuff? But the way out of the prison of struggle is to pay attention to whatever you are experiencing right now with as much kindness, compassion, and tenderness you can muster. In order to learn this, which is the art of turning towards yourself rather than turning away, it helps to know you'll have difficult days. Big surprise. We all have difficult days. I don't care what it looks like on social media. It looks like somebody's life is all together. They only show you one side of their life. We are all made out of dark and light, and we all struggle. We all know suffering and joy, clarity and confusion, ease and pain, love and hate. Our minds are like the weather. We experience big storms and small storms, all against the backdrop of the vast blue sky of our true nature. It is part of being human to experience storms inside of us, and they come and go just like the clouds do in the sky. And just like we have tried to unsuccessfully control weather for eons, we have also tried to control our inner storms. But if you watch carefully, you will see that when you are in control mode, whether it's judging yourself, going to your compulsions, blaming somebody else, swearing you'll never do this again, pretending you're fine, it only makes matters worse in the long run, oftentimes throwing you into the morass of despair. But when you realize what's in your way is the way, and you discover a little bit here and a little bit there, it's a little bit like learning how to walk. You're not going to run a marathon when you first learn how to walk. But you discover a little bit here and a little bit there how to give whatever you are experiencing the light of your accepting attention. You have truly discovered shelter from the storms of life. For most of us, the muscle of our curiosity is weak and resistance is strong, so it can help immensely to give yourself the gift of a few minutes every day where you choose a focus and just return to it. So it could be, I mean, something outside of your mind is your focus. It could be the rising and falling of your breath. It could be the sounds around you. I think those two are the easiest to really begin this gift of giving yourself a few minutes every day where you close your eyes, you choose a focus, and even if you wandered off for, let's say you're going to do it for 5 minutes, you wandered off for 4 minutes and 54 seconds, that's okay. Because we've only been trained to be lost in thought for most of our life. And when you notice that you're gone, maybe it's when the timer rings, and then you bring your attention back. You have just strengthened the muscle of your attention. And the more you do this, and start with just a few minutes a day, you know, don't get caught in that thing, oh, somebody needs to meditate 20 minutes twice a day or something like that. Quality is much more important than quantity. And so give yourself a few minutes every day, and then you'll begin to really see, oh my God, I'm caught in the world of my mind most all the time. And then you begin to see there's a whole other world happening here. It's called life. And you will be called, you'll be inspired to sit for longer periods of time so you can strengthen the muscle of your attention. And you will eventually be able to be with the strongest of storms that move through you. Stabilizing your attention also automatically opens you up into the skill of welcoming everything, for it all longs to be seen and heard. As you take your strengthened muscle of attention out into the world, start being curious about little things, like the irritation of being on hold for a long period of time, the comment that judged how your hair looked, or your partner is just chewing very obnoxiously loudly. And notice what happens in your body when you are reacting. If you start with the big things, then you'll get overwhelmed and miss the power of attention to heal. It's a little bit like going to the gym. You don't start with 100-pound weights at the beginning. You know you'll probably won't have as many big things as I have had. This is really important to get because I am clearing the pathway for you. That was my destiny, to be a way shower. So you will get the exact amount of challenges you need to wake up out of your world of struggle. But there are times for all of us we can't be curious at all about what we are experiencing. I had a few minutes that morning. But you don't have to be completely at the mercy of your storms. You can remember reacting is a part of life. You don't experience the storms of anxiety, self-judgment, anger, hopelessness, agitation, confusion, frustration, because there's something wrong or there is something wrong with you. It's just part of being human. And my job is to wake up your curiosity. Also, remember, right in the middle of your reactions, all storms pass. But when you're at the mercy of the storm, it says, oh, I'm all there is, and I'm going to last forever. But if you look closely, you will see you are so much more than these storms, and not one of your storms has been here forever. I mean, it's just a startling realization to get that. Your mind will try to convince you that they have, but just like the clouds in the sky, life is constantly changing. Another powerful thing you can do is move. When we react, we contract. We hold our breath, we tighten our body, and we get caught in struggling with the struggle. But when you move, struggle can't hold on so tightly. I have a staircase in the woods by my house, which has been my dear friend over the years. I call the time I spend on the staircase flushing the toilet because literally things begin to move through you when you get your heart pounding. My body can't hold on so tightly, nor can my mind, and even stress hormones get flushed right on out. Yes, sometimes it can be really hard to move. The contraction of a big storm tries to convince us just hunker down. So if you can't go for a walk or dance to some favorite music, take a shower. Water is magic in helping things move through. And if you can't physically move at all, and all of us have experienced these kinds of big storms, simply begin to rock yourself with your breath. And if you can, say kind and compassionate words to yourself. And lastly, but really firstly, touch whatever is struggling inside of you with compassion and bring it home to the shelter of your heart. As it says in the Course in Miracles, which I never quite fully finished, I found it so easy to get caught in my mind. Because it felt like a mental exercise at times. But there was a golden thread. There was just some amazing statements in this big, huge, gigantic book. And one of my favorites is, everything is love or a request for love. You know, when you go back to the room with all the veils and you finally get to the deepest of veils in the outer part of the room, and you meet them, the whole room dissolves as those veils lift. And what you discover is you live in a sea of love. You eat love. You breathe love. You drink love. You see love everywhere, but we are like Sleeping Beauty. We have fallen asleep to life. But life is kissing you awake. And just to hear that when you contract, it is a request for love. Whatever is scared and tight inside of you is asking for your compassionate, accepting attention. So all the various components of all your storms, whether it's anger, or shame, or fear, or despair, or loneliness, or irritation, are requesting the kindness of your heart. And the more you get to know the moving parts of your storm, you'll see that everything is asking for you to say hello. I see you. Whether it's an upset stomach, a wave of rage, or a mind that is panicked about getting everything done. Everything longs for you to turn and say hello. I see you. And is asking for the healing magic of acceptance. You are welcome here. That is where the world of struggle loses its power over us. This can be scary in the beginning because we feel this kind of acceptance will give our reactions permission to take over. But the opposite is true. Try this with smaller storms in the beginning and see that they dissipate under the gaze of your kind and accepting heart. And as I've said in many of the shows, you know, you can also see it when you go to a friend and you're struggling and the friend says, oh my God, you got to stop doing this. You know, you are just a drama queen. Or, oh my God, I can't listen to this anymore. Oh, yuck. Or they try to fix you or they just leave the room. How does that make you feel? Then imagine speaking to a friend your difficult day and they just listen. Maybe they nod, and you can feel this accepting attention. They're not turning any of this into an emergency. And you talk for 15 minutes, and you feel better. Why? Because what was scared, what was struggling, what was bound up inside of you received the gaze of accepting attention. And you'll discover this. The more you do this, as your clouds move on through, the clouds of struggle, you will be connected again to the vast blue sky of your true nature. It is the spaciousness of your heart that will keep on reminding you that what is uncomfortable is your teacher, and sanity comes when you turn and say hello. So if you're ready, in Pema's words, to see how you're separating yourself from reality, how you're staying lost in thought, how you're pulling back instead of opening up, resisting what you are experiencing, how you are closing down instead of allowing yourself to experience fully whatever you encounter, then cultivate the art of turning towards what you are experiencing by using these three statements we explored. Without changing anything, notice what is here. Without changing anything, allow what is here to be here. Without changing anything, touch with tenderness what or who is here. So I want to end with this wonderful quote that's in my bathroom and people usually attribute it to Sue Bender because she, what's the name of her book? I can't remember the name of her. She used it in her book. But I was told years ago it was written by Caitlin Langford. And it's called Listen. Listening to your heart, finding out who you are is not simple. It takes time for the chatter to quiet down. In the silence of not doing, we begin to know what we feel. If we listen and hear what is being offered, then anything in life can be our guide. Oh my God, there's just so much wisdom packed in that one simple poem. Listening to your heart, that's what we're exploring here. We have listened to our mind most of our life, and it is constantly changing. One day it says, I'm going to eat an ice cream cone, and 2 minutes later it says, you shouldn't have done that. So listening to your heart, finding out who you are is not simple. No, it's the journey of a lifetime, but it's finding out who you really are. You are not the world of struggle that you thought you were most of your life. It takes time for the chatter to quiet down. It takes time for the struggling mind to quiet down. But in the silence of not doing, and I would say in the silence of unhooking from struggle, we begin to actually experience what we're experiencing. She says we begin to know what we feel. And if we listen and hear what is being offered, and I love that she says that. It's what Eckhart is saying. Life will give you the exact set of experiences you need. These experiences, especially your challenges, are being offered to you, not because you've done something wrong or God is punishing you, but because life wants you to be free. And then the last line, then anything in life can be our guide. So your life is guiding you home. And I invite you, when you can, to take these three statements and write them out and tuck them in your heart. I'll ask Deborah to put them on the website also. May you lift the veils of your conditioning so you can come home to yourself and to life exactly as it is in this moment, not only for your own healing, but for the healing of every being that makes up this beautiful planet we call home. Thank you for the willingness, the courage, and the heart to wake up out of the world of struggle so that you can come home to life. Namaste.
During a time when the veil between worlds is thinnest, join expert mediums to make contact with angels, departed loved ones, and your highest self. Guided by experts in mediumship, clairvoyance, and spirit guide communication, discover how to harness the wisdom from the other side. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for the Wisdom Beyond the Veil at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, October 29th to the 31st. Learn more at eomega.org.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.